Okay, as of this time, call to order the public meeting of the governing board of the Cochise County Community College District. Please join Steve in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Brings us to 1.03, adoption of the agenda. Dr. Perry, does the agenda stand as published?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.02, the agenda has been properly advertised and there are no modifications. The board may take action.
Well, we need a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 1.04, citizens in-person intro. Did we have anybody sign up this evening?
There are no requests.
Very well. Thank you. 1.05, standing reports. Steve, you're up first.
Thank you. So on 20 August, I went to Flagstaff to represent the college at the AACCT board retreat. It was basically that morning of the 20th were two presentations from Dr. Leslie, one on the principles of governance and one on policies. And then in between, there was a breakout amongst the different trustees that represent each of the colleges to kind of discuss my wording. You know, are we important? Is this really performing a role with AACCT? And are we doing it effectively? So we kind of went through that. And came to the conclusion that, yes, it is an important role, you know, trustee education, and that there was a little bit of internal struggle on feeling that we're not as effective as we should be and kind of ramping up some emphasis in some meetings and internally maybe how the structure works to support AACCT. So that's, I can't give you anything concrete. That's still in motion to figure out exactly what they want to do to remedy all of that. The two presentations that Dr. Leslie did were really good. I think he overestimated the amount of time for the number of slides he had. So he had to kind of fly through them, especially with that meeting we had in the middle. I was kind of remiss, but I did get those to Kaya today so she can get that out to everybody. And if anybody has any questions, it was kind of a mix of what you'd find in the ACCT trustees handbook that we all have, and then kind of some of his best practices from you know, his time at San Antonio and other places and what he's found to be effective. I should probably take a little more time and kind of dig out some nuggets instead of making you all wade through all the slides, but there were some good insights in it, and I will take some time to kind of get that in front of everybody. So, then that concluded, and then we met back up with all the members of AC4, and I'm sure Dr. Perry will hit this. We got a presentation in terms of what's going on in terms of legislative advocacy for the upcoming year, and you know what the issues are and what that looks like. Subject to any questions, that's really all I have.
Seems like it was time well spent.
It was.
Very good. Thank you. We have any questions? Moving on to 1.05.2, the Senate report. The Senate report is in our packet. Did anybody have any questions on that report? Okay. My favorite part of the evening, 1.05.3, Student Government Association, you're up.
Okay. Good evening, Governing Board Chair, members of the Governing Board, President Perry, members of senior administration, and distinguished guests. On behalf of the Sierra Vista Campus Student Government Association, thank you for the opportunity for allowing us to be here with you this evening. We are excited to introduce ourselves as your 2026-2027 Sierra Vista Campus SGA officers and share some of what we have already been doing this fall, and as well as a few of the activities we have coming up. My name is Emma Thatcher, and I'm honored to serve as the president of the Student Government Association. I will begin by introducing myself and then turn it over to the rest of our team. As I said, I am Emma Thatcher. I'm the SGA president. I'm majoring in microbiology for the pre-med track with a minor in philosophy. I'm from Sierra Vista, and outside of school, I enjoy reading, research, weightlifting, and spending time outdoors. As president, I look forward to working alongside our officers to represent our students, listen to their needs, and help create opportunities that strengthen the student experience at Cochise College. My favorite leadership quote is, "If your actions inspires others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, then you are a leader," by John Quincy Adams. Now I will turn it over to Russell, our vice president.
Good evening. My name is Russell Adams. I serve as the vice president of SGA. I am pursuing a degree as a medical assistant, and I am from Sierra Vista. In my free time, I enjoy hiking, fishing, and camping. As vice president, I look forward to supporting our officers and helping SGA continue building stronger connections with students across campus. My favorite leadership quote is, "If you want to lead, first learn how to follow," by Rick. I will now turn, now you will meet Sydney.
Unfortunately, Sydney was not able to make it today because she's currently in class working hard. So I'm happy to introduce her on her behalf. Sydney is majoring in nursing. As a military child, she has had the opportunity to call many places home, and some of her favorite things to do are traveling and volunteering. As secretary, Sydney helps our Sierra Vista campus SGA stay organized and ensures that we maintain accurate records of the work we do throughout the year. She's excited to support our team and contribute to the work SGA is doing for our students. Sydney's favorite leadership quote is, "You don't have to be great to start, but you will have to start to be great," by Zig Ziglar. And now I will pass it on to Liam, our treasurer.
Good evening. My name is Liam Rautanen, and I serve as the treasurer for the SGA. I am majoring in administration of justice, and I'm from Sierra Vista, born in Tucson. Outside of school, one of my favorite hobbies is riding motorcycles and hopefully continuing to do so. As treasurer, I look forward to supporting SGA and helping our organization use its resources responsibly whilst also creating meaningful opportunities for our fellow students. My favorite leadership quote is, "Nobody cares about how much you know until they know how much you care." And that's often attributed to Theodore Roosevelt. Thank you, and I will now turn it over to Esmeralda.
Good evening. My name is Esmeralda Sanchez, and I serve as the Vice President of Public Relations. I am majoring in nursing, and I am originally from Douglas, Arizona. In my free time, I enjoy shopping, dancing, and doing crafts. In my role, I look forward to helping students stay informed about SGA events and activities and opportunities to get involved on campus. Communication is an important part of student engagement, and I am excited to help make sure students know what is happening and how they can participate. My favorite leadership quote is, "Be the leader you needed when you were starting out." Now I would like to introduce Sebastian.
Thank you, Esmeralda. Good evening. My name is Sebastian Hodgen. It's lovely to see a lot of you again from last year. I serve as the Vice President of Student Programming this year. I'm majoring in social and behavioral sciences, and I am from Sierra Vista. Outside of school, in my free time, I enjoy spending time at the gym working out or working on new recipes in the kitchen. My role focuses on helping create events and activities that bring students together, build community, and provide opportunities for students to connect outside of the classroom. My favorite leadership quote is, "A leader is a dealer in hope," by Napoleon Bonaparte. Now that you've had an opportunity to meet our new student government team, we would like to share a little about what we've been doing so far this year.
Our preparation for this year actually began before the fall semester started. Members of our SGA had the opportunity to attend the American Student Government Association New Officers and Members Conference in Florida. The conference provided us with an opportunity to learn more about student government, leadership, teamwork, and ways we can better represent the students we serve. It was also an opportunity for us to spend time together as a team and begin developing the relationships that will help us work effectively throughout the year. We returned to Cochise College excited and ready to put what we learned into practice. Our goals for this academic year include developing a student discount initiative by partnering with local businesses to provide discounts and special offers that directly benefit Cochise College students. Collaborate with the Cochise College Cupboard to support food insecurity initiatives, increase awareness of available resources, and identify opportunities for SGA to assist students experiencing food insecurity. Strengthen voting and civic engagement by collaborating with the Civic Engagement Committee to promote voter education, civic holidays, community involvement, and opportunities for students to become engaged citizens. Increasing student feedback and awareness by creating more opportunities for students to share their ideas, concerns, and experiences while increasing awareness of how SGA represents and advocates for the student body.
We continue preparing for the year by participating in our SGA district-wide officer training. This brought student leaders together from across Cochise College and gave us the opportunity to learn more about our individual responsibility as officers, the role of student government, and the expectations that come with representing our student body. We also participated in team-building activities that allowed us to learn more about one another. We discovered our leadership styles and the superpowers we bring to make this year a successful one.
Once the semester began, one of our first priorities was helping welcome both new and returning students to Cochise College. We participated in the campus experience for new students, helped with welcome back activities, and supported students during the opening days of the semester. Throughout these activities, we had the opportunity to meet students, answer questions, help them navigate the campus, and encourage them to be involved with the college community. One of our highlights was the Welcome Back Barbecue, which brought students, employees, and college leadership together to celebrate the start of another academic year. We would also like to take a moment to recognize and thank our senior administration for being a part of the Welcome Back Barbecue. We greatly appreciated seeing the members of our senior leadership team greeting students and helping serve food during the event. Their participation helped create a welcoming atmosphere and gave students an opportunity to interact directly with college leadership in a fun and informal setting. We truly appreciate their time, their support of SGA, and most importantly, their commitment to our students.
We also hosted our first student pop-up event of the semester, DIY beaded keychains. Students were able to stop by between classes and choose from a variety of materials and create their own little personal keychain. The smaller pop-up activities provide students with a fun opportunity to take a break or be creative, maybe even meet other students, and also to interact with SGA in a relaxed environment. We were excited to see the level of participation and creativity from our students, and we look forward to offering additional pop-up activities throughout the year.
Another highlight of the semester was our club fair. The club fair gave students the opportunity to learn more about clubs, organizations, and other ways to become involved at Cochise College. Students were able to meet club representatives, learn about upcoming activities, and discover organizations that connect with their interests. SGA believes that student involvement is an important part of the college experience, and events like the club fair help students find their community and develop connections outside of the classroom. And as you can probably tell from some of the pictures on the slide, we had a little fun while doing it.
and we are just getting started. We have several exciting opportunities coming up for our students this semester. On September 17th, we will recognize Constitution Day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That same day, a blood drive will take place from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Student Union Community Room, providing members of our campus community with an opportunity to give back and help others. On September 21st, we look forward to joining the college community for the Founders Day celebration from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Looking ahead in October, one of our biggest student events will be Haunted Union on October 23rd from 5:30 to 9 p.m. And over at the Douglas campus on November 6th, we have the Pitfire Pottery Festival from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. We are excited about these events and look forward to continuing to create opportunities that allow our students and overall college community to connect, participate, and make memories as part of their Cochise College experience.
As we conclude, we would like to thank the Governing Board, President Perry, Senior Administration, faculty, staff, our amazing advisor, Mr. Andy Espinoza, food services, maintenance and facilities, and everyone throughout Cochise College who supports the student leadership and engagement. We recognize that many of the opportunities we have shared with you this evening would not be possible without the support and collaboration of the college community. Most importantly, we are grateful for the opportunity to serve and represent our fellow students. We are excited about what lies ahead for the 2026-2027 academic year, and we look forward to continuing to listen to our students, advocate for their needs, and create opportunities that help them feel connected to Cochise College. Thank you again for allowing us to share our work with you this evening. This concludes our presentation, and we would be happy to hear any questions that you may have. Thank you.
I guess there are no questions, but I will make one comment. I really enjoy the fact that you want to help your fellow students. You spend a lot of time. You work very hard. You make the experience for them much better than it would have been if you weren't doing this. So thank you so much for doing so.
You all look great, too, all dressed up.
See, we notice these little things. So. Good job. And you're free to grab a snack and a drink and get out of here if you don't want to stay for the meeting. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for them. So I saw the superhero kind of collage up there. So you need to come up with a good name, right? Because you've got the X-Men, you've got the Justice League, Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got some options there. So you're probably going to have to work on that, Andy.
Yes, sir.
We'll report back to you.
Awesome. Okay. There you go.
Mr. Chair, I think because they're dressed so well, that all of you should get together and they should join you and we should get a snapshot.
Mm-hmm. That's fine with
Andy,
me.
Andy, that includes you.
Oh.
Robin or I can take a picture.
Where are we headed?
I think all of you just stand up and they'll stand in front of you.
Okay. Best company I've had in a month. Well, that brings us to 1.05.4, College President's Report. Dr. Perry?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board. That's a tough act to follow, but I do have to say that I think the future is in good hands. So hard to believe that we are in the fourth week of the semester. And I think by the presentation we just saw, SGA's off to a great start, and so are we. Just want to thank the college faculty, staff for all they do in regards to supporting students and, of course, our communities. As I get started, there's a couple of highlights and recognitions that I'd like to share with the board. The first one is Moody's rating update. Proud to share that Moody's rating has improved Cochise College's outlook from stable to positive. According to our account representative, this is an exceptional outcome for a public community college of our size. On August 17th, Moody's affirmed the college's A2 issuer and revenue bonds rating and revised again the outlook from stable to positive. The improved outlook reflects strong operational performance, growth in cash and investments, and declining financial leverage. They recognize a couple of things in regards to the college: conservative financial planning, enrollment, diverse and stable revenue bonds, strong workforce positioning, and healthy financial reserves. I think the key takeaway here is that the rating kind of for us provides an external validation on what we're doing as a college in regards to our finances and the approach that we take. And a lot of that is thanks to Dr. Davis, her group, and of course, the investment committee. So congratulations to the college. That's fantastic news. Another one is congratulations to women basketball coach Misty Opat, who has been selected to serve on the Women's College Coaches Association, the WBCA Board of Directors, as a two-year college representative. This is outstanding national recognition for her and her career and what she does. What it really means is that two-year colleges will have a seat at the table when they're talking about women's basketball. So it's a well-deserved recognition. So congratulations to Misty. Not to be outdone, we received notice that Mr. Cullen Scarborough was selected to be included on the Veterans Wall at Canyon Vista Medical Center for 2026. So congratulations to Cullen on that. And we'll make sure that that date's available should you like to attend that ceremony. Moving on to less important things, but still important, a little bit of a legislative update. You're aware that the Arizona legislature has concluded its 2026 regular session. We are now the 2027 budget is now in effect. The community colleges have submitted the budget request to the governor's office for 2028. We expect this next budget cycle to reflect the same as last year's and be extremely tight. However, there is some encouraging news. We received news from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee that August financial, the monthly financial highlights reported that July revenues exceeded FY 2027 budget forecasts by about $46 million. We don't know if this is kind of an anomaly. If that was to continue in the months coming, mostly that was in sales tax, it could put Arizona in a very good position. However, if it doesn't happen, we'll be looking at another deficit probably going into this next budget cycle. We'll continue to work with AC4, our legislative delegation, to communicate kind of the college's needs and keep track of that as we begin. Another big important piece is because it's an election year, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, Nick Ponder talked about both the House and the Senate. There are some seats that could change there. It's going to be a big question mark in regards to legislation, especially because we've had a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor. And what happens there will send a clear message to some of the things that may happen and may impact the community colleges here. But we'll keep you abreast of that. On the federal level, Congress has enacted a continuing resolution to fund the federal government through December 11th. So essentially what they've done is kick the can down the road, level funding for all programs through December 11th. So they'll have to get back in session and they'll have to figure out what that budget looks like for the rest of the year. It would not be unlike them to do continuing resolution and kick it further down the road. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. One of the areas that we're still continuing to watch closely is adult ed, because we've got some grants tied directly to that. Like I mentioned before, in the House reconciliation bill was to cut that program. The Senate would fund it at current levels. We'll just have to kind of see how that shakes out. Any questions there? You have a letter from the from the U.S. Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, that was a national call to action to university presidents and governing boards. This letter was really focused on universities and four-year institutions. However, we just did a quick analysis, and we align with many of those that are within that letter, barring that we're not a research institution, right? So we're continuing to monitoring that. AACC reached out to them as well. Again, community colleges aren't expected to do anything, and neither were university. It was kind of this call to action if you wanted to put out a public statement or not. Again, we're meeting, I think, at least five fully of the seven different things that they identified in that letter, but just wanted to make you aware of that. Another thing that's happening is there is right now negotiated rulemaking for accreditation. I think I've mentioned this before, that the federal government, the Department of Education, would like to open up accreditation a little bit more for more competition and look at some other metrics. We're just waiting to see how that will affect accreditors. We feel like we're in a really good position with HLC as it currently stands, and any of those things that they're talking about putting an emphasis on, if we're not already doing it, we're well positioned in order to make a turn if we need to, or modify if we need to, in order to meet those metrics. Again, we'll keep you posted on if any changes occur within accreditation. Moving on to facilities update. Facilities projects continue to move forward across the districts, although because of weather and permitting, we do have a few timelines that have been adjusted. On the Douglas campus, work on the Douglas campus well project continues. Well boring and casing are complete, and the test pump has been installed. Wendy, do we know if they've started testing that at all yet?
No, they're measuring levels and pressurizing it and okay, making sure things are not collapsing and stuff like that.
And I had a question from board chair. How far down did they go? Do you know how far down did they drill?
It was over 1,000.
Over 1,000 feet?
Yeah.
Is that just a test hole, 4-inch, 5-inch hole?
I'm not sure of that.
Yeah, I think this is the actual
issue. This is going to be the final product.
Yeah.
They put that much money in it to begin with?
They had done explorations before they started the.
They knew what was down there.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not far from an existing well.
Existing.
Quarter mile, something like that.
Building 400 continues to move forward, although the timeline has been extended. Roofwork is expected to resume in late September, weather permitting, followed by interior construction in mid-October. And we expect the completion to be sometime in December. Building 500, an inspection identified the need to replace portions of the flat roof. We've got a proposal in your packet that we'll talk about just a little bit later in the meeting. Building 900, the flat roof work is complete with the remaining sheet metal insulation delayed due to weather. Completion is expected by the end of September this month. We also have some additional updates later in the meeting under the informational items that we'd like to share with the board in regards to some additional things and construction there at the in the 900 building. Work also continues on Huachuca Hall. Apartments 1205 to 1208 are moving through the permitting process, with construction expected to resume in October and completion anticipated in early spring. Abatement and demolition of apartments 1201 to 1204 will begin here shortly in September, and then we'll follow some underground sewage replacement and some other things. So as you can see, lots happening around the district. Moving on to some of the initiatives. Work on the college's next strategic plan is fully underway and remains on schedule. We're currently focusing on gathering information at this stage, engaging employees and community stakeholders to kind of help give us some direction and input into the plan. We have engaged a consultant to assist with the process, and the strategic planning advisory group held its first meeting on August 28th. The group reviewed information from the environmental scan, along with enrollment, student success, and other trends to better understand the opportunities and challenges ahead. We've also been discussing the differences between long-term strategic priorities and more immediate operational needs. I think anytime that you do strategic planning and ideas start to come forward, some of those are specific projects we want to work on rather than overarching initiatives where that can probably fall into one of those areas. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that we really want to maintain focused on the big picture, but they're all good ideas. So we kind of put them in a parking lot for something that we could input later on or a project that we may do that lends itself to that strategic plan. We have employee forums beginning September 30th. We'll also take a look and seek community input. In fact, I've got a presentation to the Locals Realtor Association coming up next week on the 16th, where we've identified four questions with a, what do we call them? QR code, where we'll garner some input there while I give a presentation, but they can also go to the QR code to input any other ideas that they have to the strategic planning. And we'll also make sure that on October 30th, when we have our retreat, we'll have a session where, of course, the board will be able to provide some input as well. What we're trying to do is not bias you into some of the things that we've already found so that we get some fresh, innovative, and new ideas from our board, okay? All right. What's that?
Like a good
tactic. It is a good tactic. Instructional and workforce programs. Fall semester, like I mentioned, is off to a great start. Nursing, allied health, and career technical education continue to respond to student and regional needs. Our EMT program in Douglas welcomed its largest cohort since 2000. Registered nursing remains strong with 68 first-year and 66 second-year students. And 18 students began the RN to BSN program in fall. Faculty and staff also continue to do community outreach and recruitment activities throughout the region. The construction program is underway on its next building following the sale of the previous house. We continue to strengthen industry and educational programs through outreach. We met with the Southern Arizona Contractors Association, and I know our full-time agriculture faculty also attended the Arizona FFA State Leadership Conference as well in Tucson that they host every year for recruitment purposes and to kind of showcase what the program offers. On September 15th, Cochise College will launch the first Southeast Arizona Detention Officer Academy. The 10-week academy will train 8 recruits from the Cochise College or from Cochise and Apache County Sheriff's Offices. And represents another important, I think, regional partnership, supporting public safety and workforce development. I know the cohort seems relatively small, but it is internal, utilizing their expertise to train. But it's one of those that we think can take off and can grow as we do. Any questions? Yes.
Roof on the union. Didn't we just work on that not too long ago when it flooded and did all kinds of damage in there?
That was the kitchen portion of that. Yeah.
No, it was the whole building.
Oh, was it the whole building?
2019. Yes. We didn't replace it. We did a refurbishment to the roof that obviously collapsed and flooded and everything. So this is a replacement. We should have done a replacement 7 years
that
ago.
We didn't replace it. You just patched it.
They did patching work. I mean, they did a ton of work inside the building, but the roof itself, they did refurbishment, not complete replacement. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm frustrated.
You get my meaning.
Hey, Commissioner DePeso. General comments, some community engagements that happened August 12th and 14th. We had the Campus Experience New Student Union. August 13th, I met with Education Forward Arizona, talk about some of their statewide initiatives and how Cochise College can play a part in helping them. Their big focus is on workforce education, workforce development, and how do you tie those two together. Of course, August 17th, fall semester began. August 18th, The foundation had an orientation. They've got two new board members that I was able to just kind of give a brief overview of the college and kind of thank the overall board and thank them in advance for the work they do in supporting the college and especially our students. August 19th and 20th, myself and board member leader attended the AC4 ACCT retreat there in Flagstaff. Give a quick update on that. Was an opportunity for us to do regular business from the president's perspective. I think I've shared this this year, really, over the last probably 3 years, you've had over 60 or 70% turnover in community college presidents in Arizona. In fact, Yavapai is going to be looking for their new president. CAC, Central Arizona, has a new president. Mojave has a new president. Maricopa has a new chancellor. And AWC has a new president as well. So you've got quite a bit of changeover in leadership within higher education community colleges within Arizona. So it was a chance for us to get to know who these new presidents are and get a chance to really talk about some of those things that are affecting each of our colleges. And as we look to continually set a legislative agenda for AC4, which will be in the next couple of times that we meet prior to January's legislative session coming on, it was an opportunity really for us to get, help them get a big picture of what's happening in Arizona and for them to get to know us. August 25th and 26th, we welcome back socials on each campus. August 28th, we had the TRIO 25th anniversary celebration. Board member Money was able to attend that. Wow, what a fantastic opportunity to see the great work that they're doing in 25 years of impact, as you had quite a few alumni there to talk about how TRIO changed their lives. And again, that is one of those programs that if we could duplicate it across the institution, we would in a heartbeat, because we know the impact that it has on students and their success. September 2nd, had a foundation meeting. September 7th, of course, the college was closed for Labor Day. Today is our regular board meeting. Upcoming activities, September 10th, there's a reception at the Consulate of Mexico in Douglas, celebrating their 216th anniversary. I'm attending, and I assume that Abe is attending as well. September 16th, I've got a presentation to the local Realtors Association. September 17th through the 23rd, I will be on annual leave. So Dr. Davis will serve in my absence while I'm gone. September 25th, I'll be giving a welcome to a joint community foundation. It's the annual nonprofits conference here in Sierra Vista, hosted by RCLL and the Legacy Foundation at their new facility downtown. I'll be bringing welcome there. October 5th, we've got a visit from ASU, their Vice Provost of Academic Alliances, who is Daniel Kaur, previous president from AWC. He's now working for ASU, trying to set up better pathways with ASU for each of the community colleges. Yep, for us as well. So we're looking forward to meeting with him. October 6th will be, and note that's a change, so we moved the board meeting to October 6th in October, will be on the Douglas campus. Okay, October 6th on the Douglas campus. Mr. Chair, members of the board, that completes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. All right.
Very well. Thank you, Dr. Perry. Moving on. 1.05.5 is our monthly financial report, and that's in our packet. Were there any questions on that report? Very well. 1.05.6 is monthly academic report. Were there any questions or comments on that report? Moving on to new business. I need a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We don't have any introductions. And here's the roofing issue. 2.02, Douglas Campus Student Union Roof Replacement. Dr. Perry?
Yeah, so I think sometimes when it rains, it actually pours. So as we just briefly talked about before, the Douglas Campus Student Union roof is failing and needs a full replacement. In your packet there, we've got a proposal from Progressive Roofing through a one GPA contract to install a modified bitumen roof system. The full scope of the work is included in the proposal that we gave you there. Includes a 5-year contractor warranty and 25-year Garland system warranty. If it is approved by the board, which we're hoping it is, we expect work to begin in October and take approximately 1 month to complete. Funding would come from deferred maintenance and fund balance. We do have those monies in there for things like this. Again, it's one of those things that's extremely unfortunate that we're addressing something again a few years later. But it is sorely needed to do the full roof replacement. On that note, I know that maybe it's not this year and I don't even know next year, but we do have some work that needs to be done in the kitchen as well, probably a full remodel in the next few years. And it's important that we get the roof done first prior to that. So with that, I'll open it up to any further questions you have that really Dr. Davis might be able to answer more than I can.
How far down are they going into trusses or what are they just taking?
That's a Jim question. I do not know. I don't know that.
It sounds like the framing system is this.
It's the flat roof.
Yeah. It's still got to have something under it.
Yes.
It's got sheeting on top of it.
It does.
Are they replacing the sheeting too?
Yeah, and the system underneath it that supports it from what I read in the contract.
Yeah, I tried to read it. I wasn't quite sure what they're talking about. So I thought maybe Clinton get some light.
It sounds like it's a reasonable expectation, 20, 25 years under normal circumstances, it should hold up. And the one on there now is 30 years old or more.
When was the last time full
replacement
built?
That's a good question. I've got that data, but I didn't look that up. Again, that was in 2019 when we did the refurbishment that was unsuccessful.
Should be good for a while. Okay, I need a motion to approve 2.02, the Douglas Campus Student Union Roof Replacement.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 3.01, information items. Dr. Perry?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the college received the following communications. From the first one was a certificate recognizing from the Arizona Association of Community College Trustees, recognizing the college as a 2026 member in good standing. The certificate acknowledges the college's service and dedication to the mission of higher education and was signed by ACC Board Chair Carol DiCarlo and President and Chief Executive Officer Jing Hang Lee. And I don't know, remind me, Don, has Jihang Lee ever been to Cochise College before in your memory?
Well, he got to Tucson. He got close.
So he's trying to coordinate with us possibly in early December to make a trip out.
When I spoke with him in New Orleans, he made it a point to share that he was going to try to make it Cochise College.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to coordinate that as well, where we might be able to have lunch with him and give him a tour of probably our downtown center and maybe this campus or maybe even Douglas and give him the kind of the whole.
You know, every year for the last 10 years, he has heard something at one of these conferences positive about Cochise College. He's finally decided, I need to go see this.
Yes. For sure. We'll make sure that
he's a good guy. So it'd be good to see him.
We also received a letter from ASIN expressing the Accreditation Commission for Education in Nursing, expressing appreciation for the college's support of faculty who serve as volunteer peer evaluators. The letter specifically recognized Dr. Hill and Dr. Ashline for their service during the 25-26 academic year. They noted the important role that institutions and faculty play in advancing the quality of nursing education and thanked us the college for its leadership and ongoing partnership. So congratulations to them. I'll also note that that's an important practice, not only from ASIN, but I think we've got 1, 2, 3 trained people now for HLC as well within the institution that are peer reviewers. So that I've always said that you learn a lot from when you go to other institutions to see how they're doing things and maybe even replicate those. So congratulations to Beth and Melissa. Thank you for all that you do. Okay.
Here's a 3.02 Liberal Arts Division report. Dr. Garcia. You are on camera now.
I know. Okay. I can't avoid it.
And it's being recorded.
No pressure. No pressure. Good evening, Chair Hudgens, members of the board, President Perry, and guests. Thank you so much for having me here this evening. I actually usually present in November, but I get to go do my first peer review with HLC, so I will be gone. So this evening, I'm going to talk about the Liberal Arts Division. And there's 3 priorities that guide the division: our pathways, enrollment, relevance, and excellence, our readiness, retention, and completion, and community engagement. So for pathways, we have things such as our education and our ECE programs, which I'll talk on another slide, our interdisciplinary studies degree, our digital media arts, which is going to be joining the business advisory board this semester. We're excited to start expanding their opportunities out to the community a little more. And we also had our English AI initiative last year. And then for readiness, we are doing things like actively researching placement changes for both our ESL and our reading programs. We're in discussions around English placement and the effectiveness and options that we have with that. We've been leveraging our CPD 150 course, and our English support lab actually expanded. So that's the combined class with English 101 and English 101 support lab. And we have expanded that out to actually be available to our online students as well, instead of just in person. That was actually expanded in fall of 2024. We have been collaborating with college level classes. We've created a Reading 090 course where instead of students taking Reading 092, they actually take a Reading 090 class in collaboration with a SOCH 101 or an AJS 101 course so that they can get those reading skills combined with their college level course. Unfortunately, we've had a little bit of trouble with enrollment in that, so we're kind of pulling back on that and trying to revisit that and figure out how to better implement that moving forward. We also have community engagement, lots of community engagement in the liberal arts. And the pictures I included there were from the 2 mural projects that were done last spring. So there was the giant mural project at the Canyon Vista Medical Center. And then we also had an outdoor one at the Douglas Fairgrounds, which we're supposed to be doing a ribbon cutting on that during the fair this fall. So we're looking forward to that. So expanding our pathway. So we are currently working on implementing a new interdisciplinary studies degree, which this would replace the current liberal studies degree, which is made up of 5 concentrations. This interdisciplinary studies degree would actually create a program where they use all 5 of those, which is journalism, English, humanities, philosophy, and communication. I almost forgot that 5th one. And with a theme around persuasion, and they will use all of those together, synthesize those things so that they can learn to implement that across. And a lot of businesses are looking for those skills to be able to use multiple things instead of just focusing in on the communications or just focusing in on philosophy. And we've already been in talks with U of A with their disciplinary degree to see how we could work that pathway and make sure that those students are going through and getting their bachelor's degree as well. We've also done a lot of work with our teacher education programs. Thank you very much to my BC and EDU instructors. We have an MOU with Wachuca City Schools, and I'm excited to say that we actually have 4 students currently in observation at the Wachuca City School District this semester, and they've already been reporting back very positive feedback on their experience in there. We also have an MOU with Northland Pioneer College, who has a bachelor's degree. So we were trying to come up with different ways for our students to get their bachelor's degree and get their teaching certification. So they're going to Northland Pioneer. They stay here. They do their teaching here. And we have had one student who actually started the program this summer. So we're excited to see what's going on with those things. And we're also renewing our relationship with the U of A education pathway. We had it, and then it kind of trickled away and started having problems. So we've been having some really great discussions with them to get that back in place. And again, give our students more opportunities, because we all know we need teachers. So the liberal arts develop skills employers are seeking. Liberal arts are employment skills. I know we're always talking about, oh, humanities and what do you do with that? And it's a bad rap. But there's very important things that students learn in liberal arts classes. And we feel that those are employment skills. And we want to just leverage that and make sure that employers and our students know how important these things are for everything they do, not just their education. And then our CPD 150. CPD 150 is a course that does college skills. It teaches students how to do time management, how to set SMART goals, how to just be able to navigate the college and life in general. And we're really excited by some of these statistics that we pulled. We do want to note that this is not a causation. We cannot infer causation. But we do have some really good results here. So students who pass once CPD 150 are 68.3% likely to be retained through the next fall semester. Those that didn't pass it are our lowest rating. However, CPD 150 is a required co-requisite with any developmental level course. So if students are testing into reading or the English 095, the ones below English 101, or the developmental math classes, they are required to take CPD 150. So these are our really at-risk students, the ones most of the ones taking this class. So the fact that we have such good rates really says something about the program and about the faculty that we have working in those programs. And the students are really reporting out good things. This was a qualitative survey that the faculty gave in their class, and really, really liked the fact that 69.3% of them that completed said everyone should have to take this course. So just saying, should make everybody take this course. And I also wanted to tell you that one of my veteran English instructors came up to me unasked, and they said, I just want to tell you that I love when students come in my English 101 and have taken CPD 150. They are so much better. They get their work done. They ask the questions. They know what to do and how to be successful. And then last but far from least is all the community engagement stuff that we do in liberal arts. So we have our grant supported arts. We received our $5,000 grant from the Arizona Commission on the Arts. We're super excited about that. We've been fortunate enough to earn that for several years in a row now. This year, we're using it to support a mural. Last year was for the sculpture. And we're going to be putting up a big mural behind where the soup is dispensed during the pit fire. So we're really excited to see what happens with that. And we're currently in the process of recruiting for our guest artists to come help with that. We have our creative writing event, which we have two events that go with creative writing. We have the writing competition for both adults, and then we have a separate event for children. I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, you need to see their sizes. And we also have a writing workshop that we do. We've struggled since the pandemic. We've really struggled with the creative writing workshop. We used to get sponsorships and get a lot of help with that. And after the pandemic, we've really kind of struggled with that. So we have some ideas this year to help with that and hopefully bring in some more sponsorships and build some more interest and participation in that. And then, of course, we have the Mirage. For 25-26, we had over 100 submissions for the Mirage. And we publish poetry, nonfiction, fiction, and photos of people's different artworks in there. So it's a really great program. It's been going on for quite a while. So if you want to look in the archives, you can go back quite some time. And they've already got some initial thoughts for the 2027 edition, which may be a little bit smaller with a focus more on unpublished and student submissions. and they're going to do a better job of internal student recruitment, they think. Oh, and last year was the first year we actually did a bilingual version of the Mirage, so we had both Spanish and English in it. And then we have our cultural events and our international films. Last year we had Josh Galarza came and he did a zine making workshop, had about 50 attendees for that one. We had a screening at the Fox Theater in Tucson with about 11 attendees. We had a Phoenix trip to the Aloha and Masks Festival. Unfortunately, there was an extreme heat warning. We had 24 people sign up, but not that many attended. We also did the Black History 101 Mobile Museum, which we had done 2 years before, and again, had really good turnout for that. And then we also did a collaboration with the Bisbee Central School Project, where we showed the movie Dolores. That was all last year. This year, we're doing the movie Olmo, again, being shown at the Fox Theater. And I was just notified just before I walked in here that we actually have two vans signed up full to go to that. We are going to bring in a traveling art display called Monstras, and I can send you a link to that if you're interested, or you could just come see it when it's here. And we're also going to do an overnight trip to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where students will get to get a guided tour of a completed fresco, as well as an in-process mural by, I'm sorry if I mess up this name, I think it's Federico Vigil, and the Albuquerque Folk Festival. And then we also have our end of semester music concerts. We have individual music recitals at the assisted living facilities. We're actually kind of partnering with Dr. Wants with the Service Learning Project for that piece, and the Douglas Campus Gallery. So we're going to have Douglas, we're going to have paintings from local and regional artists, the wood fire ceramics display, and a showcase of high school art students. And then Sierra Vista Library, Dean Villarreal got me in touch with Stephen Carlson. And so we're going to do an Effie Anderson Smith, who's a local historical painter, and display some of her work. They've made some prints so they can go out and be in more places. And the Pitfire exhibit there also, as well as Wanda J. Betty, who's a local photographer and alumni. And we're going to have a display of her work as well. So that is all I have. But I also want to acknowledge my amazing and awesome faculty, and I brought some along with me. So I have Brian Homberghausen, who is my CPD 150 faculty member. I have Kat Matheson, who is my EDU full-time instructor. And then I have my three amazing department chairs. So Roman Briggs, who is philosophy and humanities, Ella Melito, English, and Denise Canyes, she has so many things under her, we can't even possibly list them. But they're my boots on the ground, so I wanted to make sure that you got to see some of our really good people. I have others, obviously, who are just as phenomenal in part of this, but I didn't want to take up the whole visiting space with all my people. So,
Angela and faculty, Ash Dahlke was reappointed to the
Arizona Commission on the Arts. Yes, Ash Dahlke just got reappointed as for another 3-year term on the Arizona Commission on the Arts. And she does not cheat and get us the grant. It goes through around her.
Very good. Any questions?
No.
Any questions, Steve?
Oh, the humanities.
You know, if I can real quick. So I appreciate Angela talking about how important the humanities are when we talk about essential skills in the workplace. That curriculum continues to be looked at very heavily. We tend to focus on workforce development, understanding that those skills lend themselves overall to a better work environment, to a better worker, right? So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
And I might say some of those skills were on display with the Student Government Association.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. They made me feel very underdressed.
3.03, Douglas Campus Gym Renovations.
Mr. Chair,
like, looks like you're up.
Board members.
Dr. Davis.
So while I don't have any action items for you to take any actions on, we did want to share just updates on the gym renovations. It's my understanding the floor of the gymnasium hasn't been replaced in at least 32 years, according to Coach Carrillo. Mm-hmm. Since he's been here, it hasn't been replaced. We've done a lot of refurbishment, recoding, all those kinds of things. But it's down to its last leg as far as sanding it down and keeping it manageable. So he's very appreciative of us working on this project. In addition, once we do that, there's a lot of interior renovations that we'll do to the gymnasium. There's some vacant or unused air handler units in the corners. If you go in the gym, up in the corners, they haven't been used. So we'll get a crane in there, get those removed, get the whole inside of the space painted, cleaned up, renovated, new bleacher structure, new bleacher system, those kinds mm-hmm. of things. So really moving the college forward. In addition, down the road, which will be an action item, we plan to do some renovations on the lobby, bathrooms, that area, and that will be probably in excess of $1 million. So that will definitely be coming forward. We have a architect working on design features for that right now. So with that, I'm happy to address questions. We will keep you updated through the process through Dr. Perry's monthly board report. I'm happy to.
Well, I was encouraged to see while we're in there doing the floor that we're going to go ahead and do the rest.
Yes.
It's needed as well.
Yeah.
So we have a new floor, a new chair to sit in or a new bleacher to sit in. So that's awesome.
And kind of put it in perspective, I mean, it's to the point where you probably can't do one more sanding on certain areas because then the nails pop up through.
Yeah.
You know, so, and if you've ever seen those,
exactly flat anymore.
Yeah, those old gym floors underneath it, they're all shimmed. I mean, it was kind of an engineering feat when those floors were put in. So yeah, we want to, you know, it's one of those things we talk about roofs and Dr. Davis and I said this, the other day is roofs aren't sexy. But they've got to be done, right? We've got facilities that we need to maintain, that educational environment, the culture. I mean, athletics is a part of that. So it's stuff that has to be done. We appreciate the board's support on that.
And this new gym, everybody's going to get to see and enjoy that.
That's right.
Thank you, Thank Dr. You. Davis. Okay. Brings us to an end of the regular meeting, but we have comments from governing board members.
No comments from me tonight. Thank you.
Excellent work. Continue it. I appreciate like the dedication for all the staff and, you know, just fantastic work.
I don't know anything.
I just want to thank you all for everything you do because this institution depends on each and every one of you, and you just step up and do more than anyone else does. That's why Cochise College is where it is. So we thank you for that. Now we need to
motion to move to executive session.
I'll move. We move to executive session.
Second.
Oh, move and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We're moving to executive session. Okay, I need a motion to close executive session and resume the regular meeting.
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And with that, the regular meeting is adjourned.